This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Oh, baby, you can feel it. You can taste it. Opening day is almost upon us. And on this very special episode of Rico Bronya, episode number 452, the last thing we should discuss before this baseball season starts is to put our predictions on record. And we do that on this MLB predictions edition of Rico Bronya. We will pick the division winners. We will pick the playoff teams. We will pick the eventual world champion. We'll even pick the MVP and the Cy Young. But before we get started, it's only fair to look back at last year and see how wrong or right we were. So I pulled up a document. These are my 2024 MLB predictions just to see how I did. The one thing I feel very good about is I did have the New York Mets making the playoffs as the third wildcard team. It was an optimistic view at the time because we did not go into the 2024 season with a lot of optimism, but I did have them winning 86 games, sneaking into the postseason, and losing in the wildcard round to the National League Central Division champion, St. Louis Cardinals. Obviously, I got that very wrong. I had the Brewers winning only 78 games. I got that very wrong. As far as the NL East was concerned, I did have the Braves winning the division with 100 wins. They obviously faced a lot of injuries. I was 11 games off of that one. And the Phillies winning 90 games and finishing in second place. So all three teams did make the playoffs. I had all three teams making the playoffs, but clearly I got the win totals slightly wrong. Very wrong with the Cardinals in the NL Central. In the NL West, and I deserve no credit for this, I did pick the Dodgers to win the division with the San Francisco Giants getting a wild card spot with 86 wins. So in totality, four of the six playoff teams were correct. I missed out on the NL Central winner and obviously the last wild card in the National League West. I had the Braves defeating the Phillies in the NLCS. Thank God I was wrong about that. So I did have the Braves winning the pennant. I had Zach Wheeler winning the Cy Young. He had a very good year but did not win it. I had Fernando Tatis Jr. winning the MVP. I got that wrong. In the American League, I did have the Yankees winning the American League East. Yay, with 99 wins. The Orioles making the playoffs with 90 wins. I did have Cleveland winning the AL Central and the Astros winning the AL West. So from that perspective, all good. But my last two wild card spots were the Seattle Mariners and the Texas Rangers. I got that one very wrong. I had Juan Soto winning the American League MVP. Not that far off. He did finish third. And Luis Castillo winning the American League Cy Young. I had the Mariners defeating the Astros in the ALCS. So my Mariners defeats Braves World Series prediction was very wrong. So overall, Hoff, what would you say? I got like a C maybe for my predictions from last year. Some right, mostly wrong, like a C plus or a C minus, something like
that. Yeah, somewhere around there. I mean, listen, you're not going to get them all right. You're not going to get them all wrong. But really, you're not going to get them all right because we never do.
The only time I ever did years ago when I didn't have the Rico Bronya with you, I just had an Evan Roberts podcast. Me and the great John Jastrzemski did MLB predictions. I probably tell this story every year, so you may get bored with it. But JJ and I made predictions going into the 2019 season. And for whatever reason, I remember vividly what he said and what I said. He had a Yankees, I think Phillies World Series. Clearly, I don't remember it that well. But it was the one time in my life in which I nailed the World Series. I had the Washington Nationals against the Houston Astros. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was the one time I ever fully nailed it. So we'll see if we can do it here in 2025.
Did you also have that Jose Altuve had a buzzer under his shirt?
Unfortunately, I did not have that. I was young and naive like the rest of us were in 2019. And let's start things off in the American League West. We'll go kind of non-offensive here. I'm very high on the Texas Rangers. I think the Texas Rangers are a team who last year, obviously, things didn't go well. They did not have a healthy season. Adolis Garcia had this awful year after he had all the success of a year earlier. I'm not saying Texas is going to win the division because of like Jacob DeGrom or anything crazy like that. But you look at the talent that they have on their roster. I think they're an absolutely loaded team. I really do. I mean, you look at, you know, Corey Seager once he's actually healthy. I could see Jake Berger having a big year. Marcus Semien bouncing back. Josh Young. Odolis Garcia. And then that rotation is really, really deep. You have a lot of really good arms in that rotation. So I love Texas to bounce back and actually take this division by winning 96 games. The Astros, they're clearly weaker. And there are things about this team I don't love. Like one example is Jose Altuve playing left field. It doesn't, A, make a lot of sense to me. B, he doesn't look good in left field at all. Christian Walker's already kind of banged up. But I think the Astros did a really good job of sort of retooling, even though they're not who we remember. Like, this is a complete divergence from what the Astros have been over the last couple of seasons. You know, you take away Alex Bregman, but you take away Justin Verlander, and he's not walking through that door again the way he did with the Mets a couple of years ago when he got traded back. So I think the Astros are decent, but they're clearly not the same. I have them winning 88 games. Look, I'm off the Mariner thing. And the reason I'm off the Mariner thing is they needed, despite that ballpark, to address this offense. They needed to fix a broken offense. And I know the ballpark has a lot to do with it. And it's one thing that I know a lot of emailers brought up during the offseason pod when we talked about acquiring players, that there was a concern over how good are their starting pitching or starting pitchers when they pitch in a ballpark that's essentially Coors Field on steroids for pitchers. So I don't know if Logan Gilbert or Bryce Miller or Luis Castillo or Brian Wu, what happens when you take them out of there. But I'm just scared that they haven't really addressed the offense. Like, I love Julio Rodriguez. I think he'll have a bounce back season. And Randy Arozarena should be decent. And, you know, we'll see about what Jorge Polanco and Cal Raleigh. Like, it's just not a great lineup. So I kind of have them fluttering where they've been, which is in the low to mid 80s. And then there's a huge drop off. But I do think the A's finish ahead of the Angels. I think they're sneakily a lot better. I think the Angels have a chance to be one of the worst teams in baseball this side of Chicago. So I have Oakland winning 75 games, the Angels winning 70 games. I have two playoff teams in the American League West, the Texas Rangers, who will win the division with 96 wins and finish with the best record in the American League. And I've got the Houston Astros sneaking in as a wild card team with 88 wins. Pete, how do you see the American League West?
You know what? It's not that far off. I do think that the Rangers are going to be a bounce back team, a team that's going to contend. I don't know why, but I get this feeling that DeGrom is going to be – this may be his final, like, send-off. Like, let me give you one more really good Cy Young year, followed with the other pitching that is building up. I mean, the Kumar Rocker is kind of exciting. They got Corey Seager, who's one of the best in the league, offensive league, Adolis Garcia. There's just a bunch of different really good weapons on this team. I just think they're going to run away with it. I have them penciled in at 95 wins. So we're not that far off. I think you said 96.
Yep.
I still believe in the Mariners pitching staff. That's the problem. I'm still sold that they may not win a lot of games because of their offense, but they're not going to lose games because of their pitching. And they have so much of it. And I think eventually you're going to see one of those names move for a bat, just not sure when. I'm putting them at the second spot. Not a lot, 87 wins, but that's where I'm putting them in. And I have them making the playoffs as well. I have third, the Astros at 86 wins, and that's actually going to get them in. I got three teams from the AL West getting into the playoffs, not because they're great, but because the rest of the league is kind of mediocre, personally speaking. And then the Athletics, I think just because they're in Sacramento, I don't know, they're going to be kind of this place right now. They have a better team, but still, 69 wins is what I have them as. And the Angels, I have a 68 because I don't know what the hell they are. They're just not good.
The A's are so interesting because when you look at Severino and J.P. Sears, who's now kind of established himself as a solid middle-of-the-rotation arm, a top-notch closer in Mason Miller, like, they're not bad, the A's. They can be one of those sneaky teams where if you told me the A's shock everyone to make the playoffs, I don't think it would be the craziest thing in the world. And part of that is what you touched on, which is that the American League is not very good. And I had a tough time figuring out an American League champion. Like, figuring out the playoff teams is one thing. Figuring out who represents the league is another. And that takes us to the American League Central. I think the Guardians have gotten worse. I think the Twins have gotten worse. I think the Tigers were very fluky last year. The one team in the Central that I buy to repeat their success, if not take a step forward, would actually be the Kansas City Royals. I like their rotation. I think it's very solid. Cole Reagans is one of those guys who, spoiler alert, you may hear about him a little bit later on when I do my awards prediction. But you've got Seth Lugo, who's now established himself as a top-of-the-rotation arm. And like Michael Wacha and Michael Lorenzen are just solid. They can eat innings. I like their bullpen, you know, with Lucas Ursedge, who is very tough, and Angel Zerpa getting lefties out. They brought in Jonathan India, who I could see having kind of a breakthrough season, reminding you of what he was as a rookie. We all know the greatness of Bobby Witt Jr. That's not a surprise. I don't love anybody in this division. I just feel better about Kansas City repeating their success than I do anybody else. I mean, the Guardians got worse. They got a lot worse. And so I have the Royals being the AL Central winner and being the only team that finishes above 500. I think they find a way to 90 wins. I think both Minnesota and Cleveland are around that 81 win mark. I have Detroit taking a step back to 77 wins, and I have huge gains for the White Sox. They're going to go all the way up to 55 wins, 55 and 107. I mean, it's great improvement for them, isn't it?
I'm more optimistic on the White Sox than you, man. I got them at 60. Jeez.
Wow. They're going to flirt with not losing 100 games. Look at you.
Well, I mean, it's almost impossible to be that bad again. Or is it? I don't know. It's weird because I still believe in the Guardians. I know that they got rid of, Josh Naylor's not there anymore. I know that you said that they got worse. But I also see a team that they rely on their bullpen to get through a lot of things. And they still have one of the best closers in the league. They still have a ton of good relief pitchers out there. They still have Jose Ramirez, where I understand – that Bobby Witt Jr. is maybe the best player in not baseball, but the American League other than Aaron Judge. But Jose Ramirez is not that far off. And with Jose Ramirez, you can win games. They just got a bunch of solid guys. So I like them. I put them at 93 wins. I know that's a high total, but again, I just think that they're going to find a way to win games, which is going to put them above, you know, a lot of mediocre teams. I do like the Tigers sneaking in at 85 wins. I know they're a little bit all over the place, but I think they're putting Colt Keith over at first base, and for some reason that gives me some weird-ish chills that are like, you know what, maybe it's going to click. Maybe somebody's going to step up. Javi Baez, I mean, can he get any worse? Maybe, maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know. But, Dave, I like Gleyber Torres there. Like, I feel like Gleyber Torres, not saying he's going to be a leader, but maybe he has a little bit of a renaissance, adds a little bit to that team. And, again, I do think that their pitching is suspect, but the bullpen is kind of good. They have some good arms in the bullpen. So that's where I feel like the Tigers can just find a way to, at 85 wins, make their way to the playoffs, sneak in. Twins, I think, are falling backwards. There's too many injuries over there. We hear it every year in our fantasy baseball league. Oh, Brian Buxton, is this the year he stays healthy? No, it's not. Royce Lewis, that guy already can't stay healthy.
He's walking injuries.
Yeah. I mean, so really, and Carlos Correa, that's going to go any day. Like, that's going to be an issue. He's not going to play a full season. So I just can't rely on this Twins team. And the Royals, it's weird because you're right. They do have a lot of promise, but I don't believe in their young players as much as you do, maybe, because, I mean, the pitching staff is okay, but I don't believe in a lot of the guys that are up and coming on this Royals team.
So you have one playoff team in the AL Central, just clearly?
I have Detroit,
you said.
I have two. I have the Guardians and the Tigers.
The Guardians and the Tigers. All right, I've got just Kansas City in the AL Central. The AL East, I know that sometimes we like to taunt our friends who are Yankee fans by talking about how minor league the league is in general. And I do think the American League is mediocre. But I think the American League East is really solid. It is. You know, you look at the talent that the Red Sox have infused, plus they're loaded with prospects who at any point can break through. They have such a deep farm system. And one team that I'm high on, that I don't think anybody else is high on, I feel like a lone wolf on this, is the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't have the balls, though, or the guts to pick the Blue Jays to win the American League East. I don't. But I do have the guts to say they're going to be a playoff team. I've got three teams coming out of the American League East to make the playoffs. I already told you I got Texas and Houston in the West. I got Kansas City in the Central. That leaves three playoff teams in the American League East. And I think the Toronto Blue Jays win 90 games. And I think they're one of the teams to sneak in. Why do I feel that way?
Please tell me. That,
you think I'm crazy?
Yes, okay. I do.
Let me make my case. I think they've got a very solid rotation of reliability. Kevin Gausman is reliable. Jose Barrios is reliable. Chris Bassett is reliable. Bowden Francis is okay. Obviously, he showed a lot of promise at times last year. Max Scherzer, I'm going to say his name, but I do not trust him. He's not in that reliable factor. But Barrios and Bassett and Gausman, these are guys we talked about during the season that, not necessarily Gausman as much, but guys, that would make sense for the Mets because if you add them, you're adding innings reliability. Jeff Hoffman was a good pickup. Like, I think their bullpen has a chance to be decent at the back end with Hoffman and Yimi Garcia and Chad Green. I don't think it's terrible. But really where I'm high on them is Bo Bichette is going to bounce back. I have confidence that Bo Bichette is not going to repeat the patheticness of last year. He's in a contract year. I think Anthony Santander hits 35 home runs. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in a contract year puts up big production. I think Andrés Giménez is a great candidate for a bounce back year after they brought him in from Cleveland. So I think there are a lot of guys. We'll see about Dalton Varsho once he's healthy. But there's a lot of guys who I think bounce back in this Toronto lineup. And I think they're just kind of being shortchanged because of their underachievements of the last couple of years. I think the Blue Jays win 90 games. I don't think they're selling Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at the deadline. They may even be purchasing to kind of push themselves over the top. So I really like the Toronto Blue Jays to win 90 games. I have the Red Sox missing the playoffs, and I want to walk through why, because they're the hot team. They're the team that everyone loves. Everyone's in love with them. Like, they have a lot of good young prospects that could come up and make a major impact. That is certainly kind of the X factor in this regard. But in terms of what they have now, Garrett Crochet has had 1 year as a full-time starter. And even last year, the White Sox didn't even treat him like a full-time starter. So do I have confidence he's making 32 starts and he's throwing six innings in each game? I don't think so. Lucas Giolito is already hurt. Bayo is already hurt. Tanner Houck's okay. And Walker Buehler, we'll see. You know, we'll see. Walker Buehler ended up having to pitch a lot down the stretch last season, including closing out that World Series. Does he have that, you know, dominant season? That bounce back season that the Red Sox are betting on. As far as their lineup is concerned, I have no confidence Trevor Story bounces back. I think Bregman was a great addition. I think Devers will be fine. Jaron Duran's a good young player. So I think the Red Sox are good. I just think they're being completely overrated in terms of how good they are. And I mentioned some of the questions I have in their rotation. But even Tristan Casas, like, he's got a big-ass mouth, but how good is he? What is he going to hit, 15 home runs this season? Zidane Rafaela, like, he's appealing because he could play in multiple positions. But that lineup doesn't scare me necessarily that much. So I think the Red Sox are in the mid-80s. Like, I think they're better. I think they're in the race. I think they're a pain in the rear end. But I kind of have them at about 85, 86 wins. The real question to me is who wins this division. The Orioles, in one breath, disappointed me because they didn't go out and bring back Corbin Burnes, which I thought made the most sense. They bring in Sugana from the Orioles. I have from Japan. I have no idea what to expect from him. I mean, he's a 33-year-old veteran from Japan. I have no idea. Charlie Morton is what he is. I don't love their rotation at all. You know, Zach Eflin's their opening day starter, and it was disappointing that they didn't add Corbin Burnes. But the reason I'm high on Baltimore to win over 90 games and make the playoffs again is this lineup is so loaded. They have so many good young studs. I think Jackson Holliday puts it all together after his struggles as a rookie. Gunnar Henderson's one of the best players in baseball. Colton Cowser broke through last year. I could see a bounce back year out of Cedric Mullins. They brought in Tyler O'Neill, who could hit you 25 to 30 home runs. I think they have a really, really good lineup. Their pitching is where I pause, which is why I don't have them winning the American League East. Believe it or not, I got the Yankees winning the division. And I guess I'll get crap for that. But despite no Gerrit Cole, despite the questions around Giancarlo Stanton, I think Goldie's going to have a big year. I've always been a fan of Paul Goldschmidt. I think their lineup will be at least better than maybe we expect. Their pitching will be fine. They've got a great back end of the bullpen, obviously, with Luke Weaver and Devin Williams. And someone has to win the division. So I have the Yankees winning 94 games, the Orioles winning 92 games, the Blue Jays winning 90 games, the Red Sox in the mid-80s. I think it's going to be a great race. But I've got Baltimore, the Yankees, and Toronto coming out of the American League East. So my playoff teams, six of them.
Oh, where are the Rays? You didn't tell me where the Rays were.
They're going to win 78 games. I think the Rays are going to stink this year. They're already off to a bad start with Shane McClanahan getting hurt immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. The playing at George M. Steinbrenner Field thing is going to be an issue. They're going to probably deal with a lot of rainouts. And even not – I shouldn't say a lot of rainouts. You know what they're going to deal with? Susan Wallman talked about this on the radio broadcast over the weekend. A lot of start and stops. You know,
yes.
It's raining. Up, we're stopping in the fourth inning. And I think that kind of crap hurts your team. I don't care if you're the Tampa Bay Rays that have used openers so well. Like, that stuff's going to wear on you. I think they're really not going to benefit from being outdoors. So I got the Rays as the one under 500 team in the AL East. So I've got the Yankees and the Rangers getting first-round buys. I've got Kansas City, Houston, Baltimore, and Toronto sneaking in. And then eventually, I've got an American League Championship Series that features the Texas Rangers defeating the Baltimore Orioles. That's right. I have the Texas Rangers going back to the World Series.
All right. So I've already screwed up a little bit. I made a mistake. Because I had the Mariners and Astros in. The Tigers should not have been in. They missed out a little bit. They were on the
top. All right.
They were right there. I'm going to go in reverse order. The Rays, I think the same thing that you said. The fact that they just seem like a lost team right now. The fact that they're in a different stadium, like we said. They don't feel like they made a big move to like trade for some young prospect that can really get excited about. Their pitching staff is all injured. Shane Bass is the other guy that people are supposed to get excited about. He's had an awful spring training. I mean, like we were talking about spring training numbers. It doesn't mean anything, but I just don't think the Rays are any good. So I have them at 75 wins. I put the Blue Jays at 79. The pitching staff is not very good. Kevin Gausman, I give you, can still be a solid pitcher, but Chris Bassett's getting older. He's not as effective. Jose Berrios is all over the place. Max Scherzer. Do I have to tell you, Mike Scherzer? He is one of the starting pitchers on this team. I don't trust him from a hole in the wall. I don't. Maybe that's just bad blood from previous years, but I don't like Max Scherzer. And Bowden Francis, okay, fine, but he still wasn't all that great last year. Even when he came up, he had some really good moments. And then what, they're going to rely on Alek Manoah if they need? I mean, that guy hasn't pitched well in 4 years. Well, it feels like 4 years. So I'm scared about their pitching staff. I don't trust their bullpen as much maybe as you do. I like Jeff Hoffman, but I liked him in that role they were using last year with the Phillies. I feel like he's going to be too much relied upon. And he's going to. He never was a big game pitcher. Let's be serious. Look at the playoffs last year. I have them at 79 wins. I agree with you. The Red Sox are going to miss out on the playoffs. 85 wins. They're a better team. They have better players, but they're just not anything that I'm nervous about making the playoffs. I think that they're good enough to win just because it's mediocre. Like I said, Orioles 90 and Yankees 92, which means that Rangers and Guardians get the bye. Yankees will play in the first round, and they – why do I always screw this up? Every freaking year. Hold on a second. All right, okay. So I think I have. Whatever. Point being is I'm not even gonna not even worry about it. Rangers are gonna beat the Guardians in the ALCS. That's all that matters. Yankees get knocked out early in the wild card.
So we both have the Texas Rangers winning the American League pennant. Is that what I've learned from this whole thing?
I have that. I have that. 95 wins. I do. I'm very high on the Rangers. I have no idea why.
Yeah. Look, we're not alone. I think that there's an expectation that they are going to bounce back. And the one team I debated, because I said this before about the American League, is very, very average. So you could sit here and make an argument for anybody in the American League. I actually thought about the Orioles. And what scares me about Baltimore is that for me to really be convinced of it, they're going to have to be aggressive at the trade deadline. Like, it's about scoring runs. I've made that very clear during a lot of these offseason recos. And I think the Orioles are well equipped to have one of the premier offenses in all of baseball. So I'm not necessarily concerned about that. But I think come playoff time, you'll want to have an ace. Now, it's not necessary. The Dodgers showed you that last year. They didn't have an ace. But I would feel better about the Orioles, who have been there the last couple of years. This is the year they break through if they did something big at the deadline. So I'm just walking you through my thoughts on this. Like, I was leaning towards picking the Orioles to win the American League pennant. And eventually I just got scared because I don't trust them. I don't trust them to make a big move. So for now, I'm with you. We've both got the Texas Rangers winning the American League pennant. My American League MVP, by the way, is Gunnar Henderson. And my American League Cy Young Award winner is Cole Reagans. So I do think he will provide a big, big year for the Kansas City Royals, who I have winning the American League Central. Cole Reagans, Gunnar Henderson, your award winners in the American League.
I this is going to sound crazy, but I kind of teased it a little bit. I feel like the Cy Young is going to be Jacob DeGrom. I just feel like he's going to have – I just feel like this is his year.
You know why I say no shot? Obviously, I'm not a hater of Jacob DeGrom. Hoff will tell you I drafted him very early in our fantasy league, so I love Jake. I just don't think they're going to allow him to. I think that there are going to be innings restrictions. Bruce Bochy even said, we're going to put him on the fake IL. So I think DeGrom, to win a Cy Young while throwing so few innings, he's going to have to be historic. Like, it's going to have to be ridiculous. So I have a tough time believing Jake will even be put in position to have a chance at winning his third Cy Young.
Well, when Blake Snell won the Cy Young, was it last year? What was his innings pitched?
It was low, but I'm telling you, DeGrom's is going to be lower. Like, I think DeGrom may be at 120 innings this year.
So he won't even qualify.
That's my point. I don't even think he's going to qualify for awards just based on the way Bruce Bochy's talked about his handling.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I'm still going to put it on there. Hey, listen, it's going to be – again, I'm feeling very positive on Jacob.
As someone who not only loves DeGrom but reached for him in fantasy, I will gladly take Jacob DeGrom winning a Cy Young.
And this is, I think this is easy. I'm sorry, but like, until otherwise, Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball, so he's going to win the MVP. And that's why they're going to have 92 wins, because I've never seen a team rely on one player as much and actually it affect. Like, this is not the NBA, okay? But somehow Aaron Judge, as long as he's healthy, he carries the team. So I think
100%. That's what he's been doing the last couple of years. All right, let's get to the National League. It is kind of crazy to not pick the LA Dodgers to win the NL West. I think it's just a matter of how many wins do they get? Do they put up an absurd number? Do they win 115 games? Do they win 108 games? I have them at a more reasonable number, 102, because I think that the LA Dodgers are going to be very, very careful. They're going to be careful with Mookie Betts, who's dealing with the medical stuff. They're going to be careful with Freddie Freeman, as we saw in Japan. They're going to be careful with basically every single person in their rotation, whether it's Sasaki or Yamamoto or Tyler Glasnow. With that said, they're an incredibly talented team. Now, I could sit here and hate all day, but when it comes to who's the team to beat in Major League Baseball, it's not even a doubt. So I have the Dodgers at 102. I have San Diego and Arizona kind of battling for the next two spots, similar to what we saw last year. But I'm going to give the edge to the San Diego Padres. They've got two top-of-the-rotation rocks that are in contract years in Dylan Cease and Michael King. I like the back end of their bullpen with Suarez and Jason Adam. And look, you're still talking about a lot of star player in the middle of their order. Jackson Merrill became a star last year. Fernando Tatis Jr. is a star. Manny Machado is still a star. So they're still very loaded lineup-wise. So I've got the Padres sitting in the low 90s. The Arizona Diamondbacks obviously go out. They make the big move for Corbin Burns. Their rotation is so deep. I mean, think about the top of their rotation. Burns, Gallen, Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez. That's pretty freaking good to the point where Jordan Montgomery's sitting in their bullpen. I like Arizona. I think they're going to be right there. I think it's going to be very, very close, sitting in the high 80s. I give the Giants credit. They tried to be aggressive. They're just not good enough. They're not as good as Arizona. They're not as good as San Diego. So I have the Giants sitting in the low 80s, and the Rockies are going to stink. They're going to lose 100 games. I do have the Dodgers and the Padres as the two playoff teams in the NL West replicating what we saw last year. And much like last year, Arizona's close, but they finished just a tad short.
So I had 101 for the Dodgers, so we're not that far off there. Again, I think that their expectations are they're going to win almost every game, and that's just not going to happen. They're going to go through injury issues. Obviously, the Mookie Betts thing is very scary, so hopefully they can figure that out. I mean, imagine this. I mean, Mookie Betts, he's down 23 pounds, is it?
Scary, yeah.
It's very scary. That guy is going to take some time to come back no matter what happens. So, and that not saying that they don't have enough offensive power to figure it out, and their pitching is just ridiculous. So, again, like, they're going to win 101 games. I think that you're wrong about the Giants. I think that Justin Verlander, with that rotation, listen, not saying that Verlander is going to step up, but I think he's going to teach them some things. I do like Logan Webb. I like Birdsong, who just got named the fifth starter. Maybe he picks it up and distributes the information properly with that rotation that they can they understand how to pitch better. Plus, I do think that Chapman in that lineup and Willie Adames are going to be really good tone setters for that offense. If they could pitch well enough and they have a little bit of offense, I think they can sneak up with 89 wins, take over that – not take over the division, but take over that second spot. The Diamondbacks I have at 83, they're like a weird team to me because they're so – they're again, they have amazing players. But like Corbin Carroll last year was – it was terrible. Like he had a decent season, but that was the last half was decent. The first half was atrocious.
Yep.
I go up and down. Eugenio Suarez I liked. His offense was – he was productive. They have some good players. But again, besides Corbin Burns, they're like – Brandon Pfaadt, there's been, you know, a lot of hype around him. He hasn't been as productive. I don't know if I can really buy into them. I got them at 83 wins. The Padres are sinking, dude. I'm telling you right now. I understand Michael King and Dylan Cease are two really good pitchers that are looking for contracts. Dylan Cease is gone. Michael King may be gone. I mean, there's a possibility that they're going to trade one of those other offensive players too. Like, do you think Machado has any market? Would he want to leave San Diego at all? Because I don't know if he's got a no trade clause, but I could see them start to rip it down because they're in flux too, just with the owner situation and stuff like that. I have been 79 wins, and then the Rockies are just terrible, 65 wins. They're just a tough.
All right, a little different. Giants having success, Padres coming crashing down. The NL Central, a division that I got very wrong last year. I didn't believe in the Milwaukee Brewers after the moves they made during the offseason. I don't believe in them again. I think that the Brewers are not going to repeat as division champions. They obviously took a hit losing Devin Williams, even though they did add Nestor Cortez to the rotation. They take a hit losing Willie Adames, obviously. I love the Chicago Cubs. I do. And Hoff could tell you that if you followed what I did in the fantasy draft. There were a couple of Cubs I went after pretty aggressively, like Matt Shaw and Michael Bush. I think their lineup is really good. They obviously had Kyle Tucker. That gets a lot of attention. But former Met farmhand, Pete Crow Armstrong, this could be his breakout season in the Chicago outfield. You already have Ian Happ and Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner. Like, I think the Cubs, they added Justin Turner, Saya Suzuki, like, I think 1 through 9, they have a very, very solid lineup, especially we mentioned Kyle Tucker, who they added in a contract year. And their pitching's really good. Shota Imanaga, I think, can maybe not necessarily repeat all of his success from last year, but be a very solid middle to the top of the rotation arm. We saw what Justin Steele was capable of doing a couple of years ago. They added Ryan Pressly to close out games. I like the Cubs. Now, I mostly like them because someone needs to win the NL Central. And so when you look at Milwaukee and you look at Cincinnati, and I think the Reds are the other team I've thought about, like, could they be the breakout team this season? They've got so much good young talent. They added Gavin Lux during the offseason. I can see Christian Encarnacion Strand having a breakout year. Their rotation isn't banned with Hunter Green and Nick Martinez and Lodolo. But I don't have enough guts. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have enough guts to say, oh, Cincinnati's taking that step. I think they're in the low 80s along with Milwaukee. I think while Paul Skeens is going to be incredibly exciting, I don't think the Pittsburgh Pirates have enough to turn that edge around. And St. Louis is just a mess. You know, we grew up in a time, not even grew up, just been around in a time in which you always trust that the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be fine. I can't say that anymore. And I think that when the Cardinals are sitting around 500, they're going to dump everybody. They're going to have a fire sale. So I actually have the Cardinals finishing in last place, which is a weird thing. But I like the Cubs. I think 88 wins will be enough. And I like the Chicago Cubs to win the National League Central and be the sole playoff team representing the National League Central.
Yeah, so it feels like you and I are very similar on some of these. This whole division, basically, you nailed it. Cubs are taking over. Again, I keep on hearing the Pete Crow Armstrong stuff, which really bothers me because that trade for Javi Baez was like it stung me. I'm like, why are we doing this? And now it's going to bite us in the butt because he's going to turn into like a stud, you know, player, rookie of the year type of player, whatever it is. Or is he qualified for rookie of the year? No, he played.
I don't think so anymore. No.
Yeah. Either way, I got them at 89 wins. Brewers, I'm with you. As soon as they traded Devin Williams, I'm looking at this team going, that was one of their best players. They didn't bring back Corbin Burns. Willy Adames leaves. I mean, everyone is basically leaving this team. And I know Billy Epler is there. Maybe he can have the ability to like bring some pieces in eventually. But the special thing about David Stearns was we could see it already. He has an eye for talent. I feel like they're already losing that eye that David Stearns is gone. So I have them at 81 wins. The Reds, I agree with you. There's pieces there that get me excited. Just not enough. I have them at 77 wins. The Pirates, it's a bad division. That's all it comes down to. Pirates 72, Paul Skeens. I have no offense on O'Neill, or even O'Neill Cruz. I don't have confidence in him. No, he's a big guy, but Ellie De La Cruz seems like he's the real deal compared to O'Neill Cruz. Like if that makes any sense at all. And then the Cardinals, I got him at 71 wins. I just don't trust what they got going on.
So far, a lot of similarities. Let's get to the big one.
Yeah.
The division that we saved for last, the National League East. The Philadelphia Phillies, on paper, like when you look at their roster, top to bottom, 1 through 26, it's actually tough to argue that they're not the best team in the National League East. It's tough, right? They've got an incredibly good rotation. Wheeler and Nola and Suarez and Lizardo, Christopher Sanchez. They've got a really good back end of the bullpen with Kirkering and Alvarado and even Jordan Romano, who they added. Very good stuff. And you look at the lineup and it's the same thing. A lot of impressive names. But when you look under the hood of the Philadelphia Phillies, here's what you'll see. They're actually kind of aging. They're actually not as good as the names are. Now, I think the rotation is really good. You know, you want to tell me Zach Wheeler's going to hit a wall? Okay, I guess. I don't see any sign of it. So it's not really about the rotation. It's about JT Realmuto. He's not what he used to be. Phillies are already saying they're going to try to sit him a lot. Nick Castellanos, like, how good is he? Kyle Schwarber, he's going to hit a lot of home runs, but he hits for basically no batting average. Trey Turner, yeah, go ahead, stay healthy. And we'll see. Alec Bohm, they were benching him during the playoffs. So I think when you look deeper at the Philly lineup specifically, I don't think it's as good as the way it sounds on paper. Now, with all that said, do I think the Phillies are going to suck this year? No, they're going to be a playoff team. They'll be a playoff team by accident. But I don't think they're going to win the National League East. We've got our team. Look, we've spent a lot of time talking about our team. They've got a really good lineup. A lineup that top to bottom, even without Alvarez, even without McNeil, should score a lot of runs, and it's going to be the key. I think the rotation has a chance to be average. You know, Kodai Senga, is he the guy from 2 years ago? David Peterson, does he pick up where he left off? I think our Met team, honestly, I'm going to give you a number because I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to give you a number. They feel like 89 wins. Now, that may jump out at you and say, come on, Evan, they won 89 games last year. Okay, it's a different year. And one of the things that's different is the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves not only had a lot of injuries last year, losing Acuna, losing Strider, everybody underperformed. Like, outside of Marcell Ozuna, go through the Braves' performances from their lineup last year. Everybody to a T was underperforming. I don't see that happening again. Like, Matt Olson closed strong, but I expect Matt Olson to just have a better year. I expect Austin Riley to just have a better year. I know they're without Sean Murphy, but I just expect the Braves are going to be better. And then you throw in the fact that Acuna is going to come back. You throw in the fact that Spencer Strider is going to come back. The one area where I don't feel like they'll repeat their success is Chris Sale. But I think the Braves are significantly better. They won 89 games last year, and literally everything went wrong. So I think the Braves win this division. I think the Braves win 95 games. I think the Phillies are at about 92 wins, and I think we're at 89. I think it's good enough to make the playoffs, but I'm not, while I love what they did, they added Juan Soto. Baseball's not as simplistic as, well, they're better. How are they going to win the same amount of games as last year? Like, it doesn't work that way. The Braves are tougher. I'll tell you another team that I think is tougher. I don't want to say they're very tough yet, but a team that's on the come is the Washington Nationals. And I think that their ascension is going to be quicker than we realize. I don't think it's going to be this year, but they got a lot of talent on that team. James Wood for a full year. Dylan Cruz for a full year. Paul DeJong's on the Nationals now. He's a Met killer. Doesn't matter who he is. He always kills us. So I think the Nationals aren't going to be a pushover. And so it's a tough division. So I think we're making the playoffs. I do. I think 89 wins is enough. And I have that also as the third wild card spot, kind of like last year. But I do think the Atlanta Braves win the National League East at 94 wins. Clearly, if you hear that, it's a race. I don't think the Mets are buried by any stretch. But I expect real improvements from Atlanta. And that's why I've got the Braves winning the NL East. I think the Phillies are leaking just a little bit of oil, but they're still really talented, especially in their rotation. So 94 for Atlanta, 92 for the Phillies, 89 for the New York Mets. All three teams make the playoffs, much like last year.
And the Marlins are just terrible again?
So I've got the Nationals sitting at around 80 wins, which I think is a surprise, and the Marlins will finish with about 67 wins.
Yeah, I have the Marlins at 63. I got to be honest, maybe it's just the fact that I'm hanging around you more with this podcast that I feel like we're very close with this. I have Braves 94, Phillies 91. The Mets I have at 90 because I do think that they're better than last year's team. Last year's team, I think I predicted 86 wins because it was a mediocre National League that they'd sneak into the playoffs. They had enough to get in there, 86 wins. They finished with 89. This is a better team. No matter what you want to say, the pitching may not be, it may be suspect, and we still may have a lot of question marks, but the offense is better. We're actually going to see production out of the DH. Like I've been saying this, it might be a little bit of a joke here or there, a little sarcasm, but the reality is this year we should have the best DH full time with the New York Mets between Winker and Marte or whoever it's going to be. JD Martinez was kind of a bust last year. We have freaking Juan Soto with now add on Vientos, a real full year. Pete Alonso can, I mean, last year, I remember you going up and down this Mets lineup and going, can this guy be better? Can this guy be better? Well, we said, yeah, and it worked out. I honestly think that the Mets could still be better going into this year. I think Pete Alonso is going to have a better year. So, I mean, I'm convinced 90 wins is a pretty solid number. It could be a little, you know, low even for this team because I think that they just have a lineup that's going to crush teams, specifically the Marlins. That being said, Braves, Phillies, Mets, 1-2-3, Dodgers, Giants, Cubs are the playoff teams for me.
All right, who comes out of the National League?
Unfortunately, I have the Dodgers. They're going to beat the Cubs in the NLCS. The Mets, though, however, will beat the Phillies in the first round.
All right.
How about that?
Look, I can't pick the Dodgers. I just can't. Now, are they the best team? Yeah, I think that's easy. They are. But I have argued this with Tiki. I've argued this with Morash. I've argued this with anybody that I would argue with. As good as the Dodgers are, they're getting picked off. Now, what is that based on? It's based on the fact that it's baseball. It's based on the fact that the Dodgers have been picked off before. So the question is, who picks off the LA Dodgers? And so when I map out my predictions, I think if you beat the Dodgers, it has to be early, kind of like how San Diego had that great opportunity a year ago. So my math has the Mets beating the Cubs in the wild card series.
Okay.
The Phillies defeating the Padres in the wild card series. And then we have a Phillies Braves NLDS and a Mets Dodgers NLDS. So why not us? We beat the LA Dodgers. We couldn't do it in the LCS. We'll do it in the DS. And then I've got the Braves beating the Phillies and 1999 all over again. I've got the Braves beating the Mets, our team in the NLCS. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. And I have an Atlanta Braves Texas Rangers World Series in which I'll say the Braves will win it. So I think the Braves bounce back from all the injuries, from 89 wins, and they defeat the Texas Rangers in the World Series. I hope I'm wrong. You can't say I'm a hater. I've got the Mets getting back to the NLCS. I can't pull the trigger and say we're getting to the World Series. So Braves, Rangers, 2025 World Series.
Yeah, it's funny. I do have the Mets and the Dodgers playing in the NLDS as well, but I just can't put the Mets past them. I just can't. I'd love to. I do have the Rangers beating the Dodgers, though, however.
I think the key is, all right, so at least the Dodgers are losing at some point.
Yeah. They can't win at all.
I think the key is they have to lose early. I do believe that because you can beat a team that's, you know, better than you in a best of five easier. That's a new word. Easier than a team in a best of seven. By the way, my awards, you said this about Judge. I'll say this about Ohtani. It's tough to not give Ohtani the NL MVP, especially when he pitches 30 innings and every writer says, oh, he pitched. He's got to be the MVP. And I'm going to give Zach Wheeler the National League Cy Young Award. He's been close. So I'll give Ohtani MVP, Wheeler Cy Young in the National League. I mentioned Gunnar Henderson in the AL, Cole Reagans in the AL. Braves Rangers 2025 World Series.
I do have Shohei because I think it's just from now on until he just either hits or pitches, he's going to win the MVP for the next 5-10 years in a row, whatever it is. And upset alert for Cy Young, I'm very high on Logan Webb this year. I have no idea why. I was high on Zach Allen last year. He kind of dipped a little bit, but Logan Webb, that's my guy, Cy Young.
Well, I drafted him in fantasy ahead of you, so clearly you didn't think it enough.
No, you stole him before I did, yes. Before I got there.
So. I did some stealing, that's for sure. Agree with our predictions, disagree with our predictions. We're idiots, we're homers, we're awful. You can always email us, therico@gmail.com. On opening day, the New York Mets against the Houston Astros, we will try to supply you as quickly as we can. In a reasonable amount of time, an instant reaction, Rico Bronya. So if you want to consume that live, I'd always advise YouTube. And then we will upload the podcast wherever you download your podcast soon after that. The march to opening day has been something, but now it's time for opening day. Thank you very much for listening and downloading another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.